Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. And we will start in the PGA Tour playing this weekend, just a couple of hours north of here, up in the Palm Coast at the Ginn Hammock Beach Resort. It's the Ginn Surmer Classic being held on the 7,663-yard par 72 conservatory course there at Ginn Hammock Beach. Of course, they've got two 18-hole tracks, and after three rounds of play, Michael Letsig leads at 7-under par. There's a three-way tie for second. Kenneth Ferry, John Houston, and Ryan Palmer are all at minus six. And then you've got Mark Wilson, the 07 Honda Classic champion, along with Ken Duke, both at 5-under par. Vaughn Taylor, J.J. Henry, and Robert Allenby, a Jupiter resident, are all at minus four. But after three rounds of play, Pat, as has been the case pretty much this entire fall series with guys like Will McKenzie, Dustin Johnson, Mark Ternesa, Cameron Beckman, we've got another very young tour player who has never yet won a PGA Tour event, poised to break his maiden today, later on today at the Ginn Surmer Classic, in Michael Letsig.
I was watching, or not watching, but I'm reading a little bit of the comments, Russ, from Letsig, and, you know, in the post today. He's like, I've been playing so well the first couple of days, and today I lost that feeling a little bit, but you've got to hang in there. That does not bode well for me in terms of going forward today. If you start feeling like you're losing the feeling and you're, you know, you're going to hang in there, you know, hey, you can hang in there if you're Tiger Woods. If you're Michael Letsig, you know, you got to be like, hey, I'm playing out of my mind, and, you know, everything's going in, and you got to have that sort of thought process. He did birdie three out of the last six to catch Palmer, who bogeyed three out of the last four.
He took driver off the deck, Palmer did, at the par 5 18th, which, and put it in the water and made bogey.
I mean, I appreciate the aggressiveness, but at the same time, you know, you've got to sort of realize where you're at. If it's the last day and you got to birdie that hole to win the thing, you know, I don't really have a problem with it. But at the same time, you still got a whole day today. So, you know, hey, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the conditions are or that kind of stuff. So he felt that was the best shot.
Well, I think you're right on there, Pat. It's a bad decision. It's a poor decision, especially on a Saturday. I mean, you're exactly right. If the conditions are different, if it's a Sunday final round, if you know you need to birdie that hole to win the tournament, that's a different story. Yesterday in the third round, when you've got the lead, you know, protect that lead. You know, manage the situation. Hit a little 4-iron, a 5-iron, you know, 200 yards out, and then put yourself in an up-and-down position from less than 100 yards with a sand wedge for birdie.
But the thing I could, you know, just quickly looking at the leaderboard, you got a guy like John Houston who's been around forever. He's right in the mix. Ken Duke, a guy, you know, local guy who's had a very good year this year, only a couple shots back, and Mark Wilson, a guy who's won in the past. So I would look for one of those kind of veteran guys that kind of know how to win, to figure out a way, rather than a, you know, a Letsig or maybe a Palmer, just because they haven't really been in these situations a lot in the past. And you know, just like I said, the comments from Letsig kind of give me a little reason to pause here going into today. Like, he feels like he was on, and then all of a sudden he's lost it. You know, you can't have those kind of thoughts. You got to be like, hey, I'm going to go back to whatever I did the first couple of days and find that and get right back on the horse and do it today.
Absolutely, Pat. I think you're right on the money. I agree with you. We're going to see one of those grizzled veterans likely win today at the Ginn Resort and the Ginn Surmer Classic. You know, you mentioned Houston and Mark Wilson. Interestingly, those are both former Honda Classic champions. John Houston winning the Honda Classic, I believe, way back in 1990, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Wilson, of course, winner in that four-way Monday playoff in 07. The first Honda Classic at PGA National. You mentioned those veterans. I think another veteran catches my eye, Robert Allenby, who's only three shots off the lead, 4-under par after his three rounds. Now, backed up a little bit yesterday with a 1-over par round of 73, but, you know, Robert Allenby quietly having a phenomenal season. He's having his best season ever on the PGA Tour based on cuts made and money. He's only missed one cut this year in 25 starts, and he's made over $3 million this year. He's 12th on the money list, and he is yet to win. For a guy to have that kind of season, you figure he's going to eventually win somewhere. In my opinion, I think it could be very easily today. And then you go a little ways further down. Interesting name, David Duval. He's at 2-under par, 214, five shots back going into today's final round. I think he's too far back to win today. But his last top 10 was 6 years ago in 2002. His last win on the PGA Tour was another year back of that, the 01 British Open. Interesting to note that Duval's last victory on the PGA Tour was a major at the 01 British Open. But, you know, if he could get into the top 10 today, I think that that's a, you know, you talk about these minor victories, and sometimes that's kind of trite to say things like that. But I think for David Duval, if he ends up top 10-ing this week at Ginn Surmer, his first top 10 in 6 years on the PGA Tour, that is definitely a minor victory for him.
That's an excellent point, Russ, because you hear hear so many of the pundits every year, not every year, but a lot of these years since Duval went into this tailspin, that are saying, oh, David's going to win this year. I'm like, based on what? It's just like you said, he hasn't had the top 10 in 5-6 years. You can't just go from the outhouse to the penthouse in this game like that. There's very few guys that I can think of that have ever done that. It takes a process of building the confidence back up, feeling comfortable with your swing, and then knowing what you can do under pressure. And Duval hasn't had that feeling. I don't care that he was number one or he won the British Open or whatever. When you lose that confidence, you lose something in your swing, it can take years to build that back up. So a guy, even with the mindset that Duval has, knowing that he can win and win majors, it's been such a deep, deep fall that to just say, oh, he's going to win this year. But based on what? Just like you said, you need to start seeing some top 25s, top 10s out of him. Then the occasional, oh, he was leading going into the final round and shot 75. But that's the indication to me that he's getting ready to win again, or at least be able to be competitive. It hasn't happened yet. I'll be very interested to see what happens today. If he shoots 80 or something ridiculous today,
yeah,
he ain't there. But he's getting very, very – he's inch by inch getting closer. But he ain't close to winning Russ right now. Barring something today that, like you said, get in the top 10, get in a couple of top 10s,
yep,
then we'll see where you're at.
So, yeah, set himself up for next year. And by the way, Pat, very considerate of you mentioning pundits in general instead of calling your co-host out by name, because, of course, that was –
You didn't predict that, did you?
Yes,
oh,
I
my
did.
God.
That was one of my preseason predictions with that. It was that David Duval would win at some point this year. Another bad preseason prediction for me.
Well, he might win today. He might still be right.
Doubt it, but I also predicted John Daly would win at some point this year.
Well, that's more plausible, though, because he's won recently.
And I was noting the partnership with Butch Harmon that came out at the beginning of the year as the reason why I thought that would happen. Both of those things likely not happening this year.
Daly might not be.
We'll file those.
He might not be a free man this year. So.
Exactly. He might be out of jail to be able to play in tournaments to win them. So you'll file those under bad predictions by Russ Evans. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney, by the way. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's your Tire Kingdom leaderboard report brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. Real quickly, take a look at these other three leaderboards. Just a couple of quick thoughts. Champions Tour, final event of the year, top 30 on the season money list in action this weekend in Sonoma. Unfortunately, third round got rained out yesterday after only 4 or 5 holes for most of the leaders. So the second round leaderboard looks like this in the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. Andy Bean, yeah, he's a Florida Gator. He's leading at 10 under par, 134. Nick Price, the Hope Sound resident, solo second at -9. Three-way tie for third. Tom Jenkins, Scott Hoke, Gene Jones, all at -8. And then you've got Lauren Roberts, Brad Bryant, David Eager, all at 7 under par. It's kind of hard to handicap this field, Pat, when we realize we've got more than a round and a half left to go. But it's good for Andy Bean that he's leading, you know, by a stroke after two rounds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm still waiting for Nick Price to break through here and to get this win that, you know, we keep waiting for him to do. But I mean, Russ, you know me, I love golf, love everything about it, but man, you've really, really got to be dedicated to want to watch this final, whatever this thing is.
It's the senior
with the rain delays and everything else. Yeah. I don't even know when it's on the Golf Channel. It's probably on at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's like 10 o'clock at night. It's delayed.
We talk about the PGA Tour being anticlimactic the way it ends, but my God, the Champions Tour is just, there's just no buzz.
Hey,
there's
what,
no buzz at all with this.
I'll tell you what, though. I've been watching some of
it. I knew you would say this.
Our buddy Frank Nabilo is doing the analyzing.
Is he? I'd watch for that.
With Brian Hammonds. Not a fan of Brian Hammonds, but Frank Nabilo, I'll tell you what. He's one step below Johnny Miller and Nick
Faldo.
Tell
him like it is?
When it comes to analysts. Now, obviously, he's not a huge name like Faldo or Johnny Miller, but I love it when Frank Nabilo is in the analyst chair at tournaments. Now, I also like him when he's in the studio doing Golf Central stuff, but does a great job. And I've been watching a little bit of him out there because he's a buddy of ours. He comes on the show regularly. Got to give him some love. All right, LPGA Tour is in Asia, South Korea to be exact. It's the Hana Bank Cologne Championship on the par 72, 6,468-yard Sky 72 Golf Club track in South Korea. And In-Kyung Kim leads. Hee-Won Han is one stroke back, along with Karen Stupples. Good news here that I want to note is Morgan Pressel, Boca Raton 20-year-old who won a couple weeks back, got herself into the field for the upcoming ADT Championship. She goes into the final round only 4 shots off the pace. Even par round is 72 and a 1-under par round is 71. So good news for Morgan Pressel. Pat, we've been talking about it all year long. Would she start to heat up and play a lot better? And evidently she is.
Oh, I mean, this is really coming out of left field because she had a lot of issues this whole year with her swing and everything else. And to win last week or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, really surprised me. I thought, you know, like all really good players, which Morgan is, you can always put yourself into contention, but actually winning an event when you've been struggling is a whole different kettle of fish. So for her to actually do that in Hawaii a couple weeks ago was very impressive. And she's playing well here in the, I think it's Cologne or Colon Championship.
Colon, yeah, I said Cologne.
No, I mean, I think that's probably what it is. I'm just...
K-O-L-O-N.
But, you know, only four shots back. She's got a shot in that thing, so
yeah,
we'll see.
It's good, and yeah, I'll tell you what, if nothing else, 3 weeks from now at the ADT, we probably can expect her to make a run and get herself at least into Saturday's Final 16 and perhaps maybe into Sunday's Final 8. We'll have to see. All right. Promised you the PGA Tour, the PGA European Tour leaderboard, and I'll give you that right now. It's the final event of the 2008 season, and interestingly enough, next week, the 2009 PGA Tour European season begins, because they have this cockamamie, you know, starting the next year's season a couple of months before the next year even begins. So it's the final event of the 08 PGA Tour season, the Volvo Masters at Valderrama in Spain. And I just want to note that Sergio Garcia, after two rounds of play, and, you know, rain problems there as well. Most of the third round yesterday rained out, so still more than a round to go, more than a round and a half, in fact, in Valderrama. But after two rounds of play, the second round leaderboard looked like this. Soren Kjeldsen held the lead at 136. You know, he shot rounds of 65 and 71, so he was at 8 under par after two rounds of play. Sergio was just two shots back in second after a 68 and a 70. So he was a 4 under par 68 and a 2 under par 70 for 6 under after two rounds. Sergio Garcia, last week after his win in Europe, moved up to third in the world rankings. That's his highest ranking ever of his career. Previous tie was 4. If he wins the Volvo Masters, he'll move up again another spot next week. And all of a sudden, if Sergio wins this weekend at the Volvo Masters, he will be the second ranked player in the world, only behind Tiger Woods.
That's
pretty impressive.
Now, will that be for 2008 or 2009?
Right.
I wish you wouldn't have told me that, because that's right up there with the five senior majors in terms of ridiculousness. The other thing, Russ, you know, before we talk about Sergio, how many European Tour events have Masters in them? Everyone?
Yeah, a lot of them. Is it like everyone
that, you know, that are trying to clam onto the U.S. Masters? Hey, Sergio's been playing well. I mean, he should have won a major this year, really. You know, he should have won the PGA Championship, except for a collapse. So, you know, he's one of those guys that is quietly, in a weird way, sort of taken up the mantle now that Tiger's been, you know, on the sidelines. You know, Padraig obviously really slammed through and won two majors. But Sergio, I think, more so than almost anybody that I can think of, has really stepped into that spotlight, you know, where Tiger sort of vacated it.
I'll tell you the difference between Sergio this year and Sergio of past years. Obviously, the win at Ponte Vedra in May, Players' Championship, was huge. It's his biggest win ever of his career. Not a major, but it's the next best thing, Players' Championship. Most people call it the fifth major. The difference between Sergio this year and in years past is that he's using his near wins, which have been losses, but they've been near wins, he's using them as positives and motivation. He's not crying in his beer and afterwards at the press conference is saying, woe is me, the world's against me.
I got a bunch of bad breaks.
Exactly. Golf sucks. The world is against me. Woe is me. No, he's not doing that this year. His near wins, which are losses, but they're positives as well, he's using them as positives. The PGA Championship, one example. You know, losing out to Vijay Singh in a playoff in the first Fall Series event. Another example. Yeah, he didn't win, but coming that close to winning is good. That means you're playing good golf, and he's using that, and he's realizing that. He's not, you know, crying about it, which he has done in years past.
No, that's an excellent point, because that's what helps you mentally with this game, which is such a big part of it. Once you achieve a certain skill level physically, and you know what your abilities are, the rest of it is mental and knowing what you can do, and just putting yourself in that position is a huge feat. You know a lot of guys aren't constantly battling for titles. You know, the fact that he hasn't won a lot of them is a factor, but nonetheless, he's at least putting himself in there. So, you know, at some point, you're going to start breaking through and winning.
At some point, if he keeps putting himself in that position to win, he will eventually win a major. That's your Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom.